This is Finding Christ in Cinema. You have my permission to listen.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we take the 11-hour flight to Disneyland and look for Christian themes in Saving Mr. Banks. Does P.L. Travers even know what grace and truth are? How does Walt Disney himself reach out to her? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 140. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, the plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately, our Christian walk. You're tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim cheree.
A sweep is as lucky can be.
It is. Well, it has been Mary Poppins week here. Yes, at the Hanson household.
It really has.
Well, exactly. With what we're talking about today, as well as compiled with last week. You know what? One thing that I forgot to mention last week, what did we talk about?
Well, we talked about Mary Poppins.
Oh, what we're talking about right now, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
And I put it in my show notes, but I can never find my show notes when we're doing the show. They're here somewhere. Funny, I know they're on this computer.
Funny how that works.
My daughter, my five-year-old daughter, who had never seen Mary Poppins, obviously, well, not obviously, but anyway, she had never seen it. She made a couple of observations while watching the movie. Okay. And one was, their dad is mad. That's what she got from Mr. Banks.
Yeah.
Which is pretty profound for a five-year-old. Even a five-year-old could see that he needed his heart turned back to his children, which is what our point was last week. Did you have any addendums, afterthoughts? Oh, and another thing.
I did not.
You thought we covered that pretty thoroughly?
I thought we did. But I can tell in the spreadsheet that you have something you need to add.
Yeah, from 2 episodes ago.
Oh, okay.
All right, so last Sunday night, I'm tuned in at 8 o'clock, as everybody should be here in Coffee County, to the local radio station.
Right.
As a matter of fact, let's give Rob and Thunder Radio a free station check. On-air station check right now. If you were tuned into Thunder Radio 107.9 FM, that's 1320 AM on your dial, WMSR, Manchester, you would have heard me talking in The African Queen, and I said that, and I do this all the time, because my brain is about 10 seconds ahead of what I'm actually saying right now, because I'm thinking about what the next words are going to scream out of my gob here. Anyhow, I said verbatim that that Acts says that the persecution against the church started right there in Acts chapter 1. I misspoke. It's Acts chapter 8, verse 1. So anytime I ever say that, see, that's one of my cornerstone verses. I love Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and I love Acts chapter 6, verse 1, both for two different reasons. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 is the schism, the heresies that were taking place when the Greek-speaking widows in the churches were being overlooked with the daily serving of food.
Being skipped over.
Yes. Not being one of us.
Right.
Okay, one of our things that are going on. But Acts chapter 8, verse 1, right after Stephen is martyred, right? Am I getting that correct?
Mm-hmm.
At the martyring of Stephen, it says, Acts chapter 8, verse 1, that day a great persecution arose against the church, starting in Jerusalem and then going out throughout the whole known world. And that is fulfilled prophecy. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, these things are going to happen to you, you're going to be delivered up and brought before synagogues and all those things. So I just had to make that clarification. I know that I misspeak quite often. Brendan does too. They're simple, silly mistakes, but something like that, you're going to get somebody going, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't, but I do know Acts chapter 8, verse 1.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
So that was my addendum and afterthought from two episodes ago when we talked about the African Queen, which that was a fantastic episode. Like I said, I listened to it on the radio and it sounded great. So what are we talking about today, Brendan?
Today we are continuing the saga of Mary Poppins by looking at the 2015 film Saving Mr. Banks.
You ready to go to the theater?
Oh, I so am.
Winds in the east. Mist coming in. Like something is brewing. About to begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are beginning our descent into Los Angeles.
Welcome, Mrs. P.L. Travers, to the City of Angels.
It smells like...
jasmine.
Chlorine. And sweat.
Introducing the creator of our beloved Mary.
Poppins. Never, ever just Mary. Now, where is Mr. Disney?
She's here.
Well, Pamela Travers, you can't imagine how excited I am to finally meet you.
Would you mind? My name is Mrs. Travers, Mr. Disney.
Oh, Walt, now, you gotta call me Walt. 20 years ago, I made a promise to my daughters that I would make your Mary Poppins fly off the pages of your books. I promise them, Pam.
I know what he's going to do to her. She'll be cavorting and twinkling.
She can't make the film unless you grant the rights.
Now, let us begin.
She has a lot of ideas.
What kind of ideas?
Constables responsible.
No. Responsible is not a word.
We made it up.
Well, unmake it up.
She won't approve Dick Van Dyke.
No.
No. The Lentis house doesn't look like that. No,
it's all wrong.
It's all wrong?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Stop! Mary Poppins is not for sale. I won't have her turned into one of your silly cartoons.
Says the woman who sent a flying nanny with a talking umbrella to save the children.
You think Mary Poppins has come to save the children? Oh, dear.
Mrs. Travers, what am I missing here? I'm wondering what I have to do to make you happy. You know, you've never been to Disneyland, and that's the happiest place on Earth.
No, please.
Well, when does anybody get to go to Disneyland with Walt Disney himself?
There he is.
Where did she come from?
Mary Poppins and the Bankses. They're family to me.
Mary Poppins was a real person? So it's not the children she comes to save. It's their father. It's your father.
You don't know what she means to me.
I won't disappoint you. I swear, every time a person walks into a movie house, they will rejoice. Don't you want to finish the story? The boys have come up with an idea. I think it's going to make you happy.
You didn't bring me all the way here to tell me that.
Oh, no. I had a wager. I couldn't get you on a ride. I just won $20.
Wow, that trailer is deceiving, Brendan.
How so?
Because it makes it seem that this movie is just all frivolity with maybe a little bit of gravity thrown in for good measure, for, you know, a little bit of drama. My goodness, Brendan, this movie wrecked me.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen it before. I wanted to see it when it first came out, and I knew that I was interested in it. I love Mary Poppins. I told my story, my history with Mary Poppins last episode. And sitting down, I had no idea. You talk about a lamb being led to slaughter.
Yeah.
Wow. What did you think of this?
I always enjoy, like, origin stories.
Yeah.
Especially to cultural classics such as Mary Poppins. So for me, it was very interesting to see this telling of the story of how P.L. Travers developed the character of Mary Poppins, of how
Walt Disney, that it's highly dramatized.
It is highly dramatized, yes. But it's still, to me, it's still worth it to entertain the ideas and entertain the history like it could have happened as portrayed in this film.
Brilliant storytelling.
Yes. Yeah, and of course, it's Tom Hanks. This is, after all, Finding Christ in Tom Hanks films.
I wonder how many films we have done starring Tom Hanks.
Enough to do a dadgum Kindle book, I'll tell you that.
Hey!
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 If there's any one subject we could do a Kindle book on. it would be Tom Hanks' film.
Okay, timestamp this in the show here. We'll use that for reference. Hey, that's so I can remember because I'll forget.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
A lot. Okay. What? I made the statement just now that this is excellent storytelling, and you agreed. Mm-hmm. Expound on that. Why is this excellent storytelling? What about it structurally, academically?
Well, because we see the author, P.L. Travers, we see Pam, we see Ginty.
Yeah.
We see
Helen.
We see Helen.
We get to see Helen.
Mm-hmm. We see this beautiful transformation. Now, this could be a Rorschach thing.
Okay.
And we could look at it.
We haven't had one of those in a while.
Well, here we go. Might need a sound effect for it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you make a sound effect for ink on a page?
Exactly. How do you
Oh,
do
I know.
There's a way to do it. Yeah, there you go.
What does this look like to you?
So in the film, there are flashbacks.
Many, and they're beautiful. Several.
They are. Are those flashbacks extempore? As in, they just happen to be, it's like the storytellers say, here, we're going to tell you part of this story, and then we're going to go back and tell you this part of this story to build that part up. Then we're going to tell you some of this part. Then we're going to go back over here. And it's like a forward moving, but from two different angles.
Complimentary.
Yeah. Here's what makes it cook for me.
Okay.
Is it P.L. Travers remembering these things in order as she goes along this way?
I think that is the case. B.
Yeah.
Do I win?
Yeah. You win my agreement.
All right. Point for me. Because there is that scene in the middle where she calls her agent in the middle of the night, and mm-hmm. she mm-hmm. says, you know, I'm at war with myself. I'm being tormented by these dreams. And I think that's what I think she's even means dreams under that umbrella includes daydreams. It includes ruminations, includes flashbacks and memories that mm-hmm. she's being bombarded with as she is having to confront what this story is, why it's mm-hmm. so important to her.
And it's
because they're trying to dismantle it.
Yeah.
And make it into something that she did not intend.
Mm-hmm.
And so her mind, her subconscious or whatever is working out why is this so important to me?
And to expound on that, I think it's crucial to understand that that P.L. Travers, that Ginty, that Helen is a broken person who's probably been wrestling with these dreams
her whole life.
The movie.
The pears.
When she threw it. Okay. When she threw the pears out at the beginning of the film.
We had no idea. We thought that goes right along with her contentious.
Yeah.
Spirit.
Yeah. And it actually later on, we understand.
That was a forward.
Yeah. It is a forward.
Yeah.
But she's been wrestling with this, with all this stuff, her whole life.
Yeah.
Just because we, the audience, see it now doesn't mean it's the first time that it's happened. And going into it, where we see this is where she's been wrestling with it, to see it in order, the way it happens,
yeah,
helps us out.
Yes. Oh, it's a wonderful ride. It's amazing.
It's a wonderful crafted
story.
It is dramatized. Nothing's wrong with that.
Hey, this is high drama too, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's all about the chickens coming home to roost.
Yeah.
It's all about.
Wow.
It's all about. Helen, I keep on calling her PL, but that sounds so weird. but it's all about Helen.
Helen Goff is her name.
Yeah, Helen Goff. Even though the book says PL Travers, Helen Goff is her name, and it's about her having let these memories go unchecked, having unreconciled her own feelings with her father, her own guilt. It's about her and all that baggage.
Yeah.
Letting it go.
It's not about saving Mr. Banks. It's about saving Helen Goff.
Mm-hmm.
Via Mr. Banks.
Yeah.
And we'll learn that later on in the show. But that's the high drama.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't about your father. It's about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about you and the hurts that you've carried. the memories that you've carried, the bad memories.
Those burdens.
Oh boy, we're going to get into that heavy duty. Okay, some shout-outs. Shout-outs on Saving Mr. Banks, of course.
FCC's very own Tom Hanks as Walt Disney.
Oh, man. I do believe, I'm 99.999% sure, positive, that I can safely say Tom Hanks is my favorite actor. He has, not only can he act, I mean, he had old associates and employees of Walt Disney in tears watching him because of the character tics that he employed. Oh, Walt did. He sat down with family members. What was Walt like? He went to the Walt Disney Museum, his personal museum, not about Disneyland, not about Walt Disney Productions, about Walt Disney. And he incorporated all these quirks and these character tics, and it made people that love Walt Disney cry because he brought him back. There's Walt, and we got to see him. What a pleasure. And thank you, Mr. Hanks, for doing that.
Of course.
As only Tom Hanks can do. Mm-hmm. We don't need to gush on him for too long. We've done it
several episodes.
Many times. I mean, gosh, I'm thinking at least 10 movies that we've done of Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
It's way up there. Least, yeah.
FCC's very own Emma Thompson.
Yes. How is she?
As Helen.
She's FCC's?
Yeah,
How is she in the menagerie?
Professor Trelawney.
Oh, yes.
From way I back when we did Harry Potter.
Yep. We've covered them all. I forgot. Okay, stop. We haven't really ever talked about Emma Thompson. Talk about her.
We haven't had much cause to.
Yeah.
Because in Harry Potter, she was portraying just a weird periphery character. Yeah.
And she did fantastic.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, she really captured the spirit of Professor Trelawney.
Emma Thompson has the capacity to be the best supporting character and the best leading
Amen. Actress. And director and producer.
Yes.
She does it all.
Mm-hmm. With this film in particular, again, she's the character that bears the... That bears the weight of the transformation,
the load bearing beam. She's that center beam of the house that holds it up, all the weight bearing. Yes,
and so when her character goes through her own personal catharsis, you've got to have
purging an actress, of emotions.
Uh huh. You've got to have an actress that can portray that, and Emma Thompson does it well.
Well.
Part of the selling point is the buildup leading up to it.
Yeah.
Well begun is half done.
Yep. And she begun well.
And she did. She did begun well. Emma Thompson, because she plays Helen so coldly and so
distant and
pithy. Is that?
Well, yes, absolutely. Yeah. In her cantankerous, she's a caustic individual. She's not a joy to be around. Even her own manager says, we've been friends a long time. Yes, I like to consider you a friend, though I know it's not reciprocated. She's cold-hearted, distant.
She's
damaged goods.
I was even at the gas station today, and you know how they have the little video screens on the gas pumps.
I like that.
Now.
I just noticed that.
They had a word of the day.
Oh, good.
Pervicacious.
At the gas station. How do you use that at the petrol station?
Well, I didn't use it because I didn't talk to anybody.
Oh, okay.
Very obstinate. Refractory.
How? Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
That's another.
There you go.
And God does provide.
And just in order to have that complete transformation of the character, you've got to play the setup as well as the climax and the resolution. And Emma Thompson does it all.
Amen. I think she's a genius.
There you go.
One of the greatest actresses ever.
FCC's very own, Colin Farrell.
O.M. goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
He nailed it.
I feel like in this film, I've seen him act more than he's ever acted in any of the films that I've seen before.
I've always liked him.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, it was really his character that had the biggest, the most profound effect on me. Because he was able to draw me in so that I could transfer those emotions onto Helen, onto P.L. Travers, and then be rooting for her, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she loved her daddy in this story, and he loved her. And life is hard. Life is hard, and bad things happen. and he wouldn't have wanted his daughter to live her whole life despising herself.
Yeah, with that burden.
Yeah, thank you, Colin Farrell. You deserve every penny of your paycheck for that role.
There you go. Let's welcome some people to the menagerie.
Please.
Annie Rose Buckley as Ginty.
Oh, as young goodness. Helen. Yes, I hope to see more of her in the future.
I'm sure we will. Yeah. I'm sure we will. Ruth Wilson as Margaret Goff, her mother.
Yes, she played that role very, very well. I like when her sister shows up, her reaction to that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Paul Giamatti as Ralph, the limo driver.
I wanted to, in fact, before the mics went hot, we decided perhaps we should just scrap everything that we have prepared and talk about the relationship between Ralph, the limo driver, and P.L. Travers.
Yeah.
There is a wealth.
You want to talk about softening the heart?
Kindness leading to repentance.
You want to talk about tilling the ground?
Yeah.
Tilling the ground that had been trampled on.
You want to talk about a soft answer turns away wrath?
Oh.
How Christians should treat outsiders, unbelievers,
how we can win them?
Yes.
If we're going to talk about winning people as if they were...
winning souls?
Yeah. So there's that. Uh-huh. Paul Giamatti knocked it out of the park.
Yes.
Bradley Whitford.
Oh.
As Don DeGrady.
It was great. Yeah. It was great.
Especially the moment when they're doing Let's Go Fly a Kite.
Yeah.
It's part of my sound clips. And he's watching P.L. Track. He's watching Helen, yes. And she's tapping your feet. Yes. This is the first time she's ever done it. And he has that little spark, and he just walks over to her.
Hey. Isn't this much like that moment in The Miracle Worker when they unleash Helen Keller and when she first starts signing water into
her teacher's name? Ann Sullivan.
Yes. We have a breakthrough. This was the moment of the breakthrough. Mm-hmm. This was water. I understand. I understand what you guys are doing with my story now. Of course, that was a rewrite. That ending, so because she had an emotional reaction to the bank song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She says, "Why are you guys making Mr. Banks out to be such a monster? He wasn't a monster." Because of course she's talking about her dad.
Yes.
Oh wow. Yes. And so the look on his face when that breakthrough is made. Oh, and then they start dancing and wonderful.
And of course you've got B.J. Novak and Jason Schwartzman as the Sherman Brothers, Robert and Richard Sherman, respectively.
Yep.
I've seen B.J. Novak in The Office.
I don't know either one of these guys. I'm glad that I do now.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. And Jason, he's in a lot of like the quirky, campy comedies. A lot of and also not to synonymize the two. That's a real word, right?
Sure. Hey, this is your show.
Yeah.
I do. The Sherman Brothers can make up words.
They can, so can I.
Yes.
And so can Travers Goff.
Yes.
He can make up words.
Yes.
But not to synonymize campy comedies with Wes Anderson films. Jason Schwartzman also does a lot of Wes Anderson films.
Okay.
So, like, he was in the Grand Budapest Hotel, movies like that. Yeah,
I thought he did a bang-up job as Richard Sherman, and I really enjoyed his portrayal. I'd like to see a movie on the... there's a documentary on the Sherman Brothers, but I'd like to see a movie.
Yeah,
I'd like to
out.
See a dramatized... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Real quick, Melanie Paxson as Dolly. She was very endearing, one of the secretaries, the younger secretary.
Oh, not Tommy, but Dolly. Yes, yep. Okay. I always got to check myself on talking about... And then, who played Tommy?
I don't know. I just unplugged my headphones, so I don't know what's going
on.
Oh,
no. Well, really quick, I'll tell you, for the Sherman Brothers, I feel like Kathy Baker, there you go. The Sherman Brothers had their moment. Bob was the one who vocally conflicted
yes.
with Helen, and she was having none of it.
No.
So she get
managed,
out. Yeah, get out.
Yep.
So it was interesting to see that. But then I think Richard's moment was when he was composing late at night. He was all by himself, and Walt was actually outside on the bench, and he could hear the music going. And that's when Richard shows Walt the song. What was it?
It wasn't Feed the Birds, was it?
No, it wasn't Feed the Birds.
I don't know.
No, no, he was playing Feed. Yeah, he was playing Feed the Birds.
Yes,
he was playing.
And Walt went up in there.
Yeah, and Walt went in. They had this nice little endearing conversation, and then
part of my sound clips.
There you go.
Yep.
And just that moment where
that's why I really enjoyed his portrayal. Great, great film. Great cast. Amazing story. It is a story about redemption. It is a story about redeeming. The Christian themes abound in this movie, but I was so emotionally impacted that it was hard for me to...
you're just so wrecked.
Yes, it really did. And again, a challenge to the listeners, just go back and watch this movie and watch the relationship between Ralph and the way that he, M.P.L. Travers, the way that he treats her, and then the repentance, the change of heart in her demeanor towards him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she loved him, you know. Yeah. Great things. Who's going to go first, Brendan, you or I?
I can go first.
All right, go get started.
So we've already established that this the tension in this film is really between Walt Disney and P.L. Travers, or Helen Goff. And Helen, she's just very protective of her work. And as a creative type myself, I understand
Amen.
That. You understand that.
Amen. It reminds us of God being zealous and covetous.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Very, very protective.
Yes.
Very territorial.
Yes.
You know, you don't cross this line.
This is mine. I made this.
She can't abide by cartoons.
No, no.
That whole business with the cartoons, she can't abide with cartoons. There comes a point where they think, "Oh, we've got to give Mary Poppins a tagline," and the Sherman Brothers and DeGrotti, they're all thinking in the rehearsal room, "What's something that we can have that is her prescription for life? What's something?" And then
her maxim,
yes, her guiding principle, her golden rule, if you will. And Bob talks about, "Well, wait a minute, my son, he just had vaccination day at school, but they didn't give him the shot with a needle; they dropped it onto a sugar cube." And then gave it to him that way. And the sugar helped the medicine, well, go down. But, of course, they change it to the word spoonful. And then we hear, we ain't got enough time to play it now. But when we come back from the break, we're going to hear this song. And you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's the spoonful of sugar.
What?
A spoonful of
what
sugar.
What does it do?
Helps the medicine go down. But what we're going to talk about is how a spoonful of grace helps the truth go down.
Oh, great setup.
And this is one of the lessons that Helen has to learn.
We're going
to
talk about grace.
We are.
There is a lot of grace, a ton of grace in saving Mr. Banks. Not only this song, Walt Disney himself, great message, great film. Join us on the other side of the break right here on Finding Christ in Cinema as we talk about saving Mr. Banks. For more of Finding Christ in Cinema, follow us on Twitter at Christ in Cinema and Facebook at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. Welcome back to Finding Christ in Cinema. Today we are talking about Saving Mr. Banks from 2013, Brendan.
2013?
2013. I can't believe that this movie is almost four years old.
Man.
Great film. A wonderful story about Walt Disney and P.L. Travers, the author of Mary Poppins. He tried for 20 years to get the rights to produce the film version of Mary Poppins in order to fulfill a promise mm-hmm. to his girls.
Mm-hmm.
A father can't go back on his promise to his girls. And it's just jam-packed with Christian themes. This movie, if you haven't seen it, listeners, be prepared to go on an emotional roller coaster. Mm-hmm. It's deep, it's heavy, and it is a great picture of grace. Just a spoonful of grace.
Helps the truth go down. You know, we like to think of as truth as being solid and absolute, which it is.
Yeah, truth is truth.
But how we as humans...
You know what the definition of truth is?
Oh, say it.
The reality underlying the base of an appearance.
Hey, that's really good, actually.
Yeah. It is. It's reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And as reality as it is, though, how we as humans relate it is... relative?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
How we use it
because, well, let's just say the example that I saw floating on Twitter. I think Tim Keller put it out. you know, a Bible can be used for anything because I saw my four-year-old cousin hitting his brother with it. You know,
that's its most common use.
Yeah, you know. However, in Saving Mr. Banks, back to this scene.
There's no beatings taking place here.
Well, there's no physical beatings.
Right.
But there's an awful lot of verbal destruction.
Oh, I like how you put that.
On the part of Helen herself, yeah. P.L. Travers.
Oh, yes.
Because she is very protective of her life's work,
to the
really.
Point of being contentious,
to the point of being condemning,
and
viperous with her words,
venomous.
Thank you. That's that was much better. So the Sherman Brothers, they're writing this song. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
For a spoonful of sugar. Medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. In the da 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 da.
We'll work out the rest of the lyrics.
You see how it goes up on the word down?
On the word down, it goes up.
It's ironic.
Well, forget ironic. That's iconic. I won't be able to stop singing that for weeks. Da, da, da.
There you go.
Love Tom Hanks.
So the Sherman Brothers, DeGrotte, and even Walt Disney himself, they are loving this song because it really does encapsulate Mary Poppins.
Yes.
They think it's so brilliant. And it is, let's be honest. We as people of the 21st century, we know that it's brilliant. However, Helen is not so gracious.
Well, it seems enormously patronizing to me. Just the sort of annoying tune you'd have playing in your themed park, I dare say. All giddy and carefree, encouraging children to face the world unarmed. All they need is a spoon and some sugar and a brain full of fluff, and they're equipped with life's tools. Wonderful.
Boy, speaking of being patronizing.
Yes. Yes. She doesn't like it because it quote, sugarcoats, which...
Duh!
That's what it's supposed to do. That's what it's supposed to do because it makes it more receptible. It makes the truth more...
palatable.
Palatable, yeah. And there's a way that specifically Christians are called to behave in the world. And well, it's with grace. It's grace. It's a marriage of grace and truth.
Oh.
Oh, what were you thinking?
I was just thinking of just beating people with the
with
Bible.
Bibles.
Yeah.
Well, don't let Tim Keller's.
That's what children
cousin,
do, right?
Young cousin or whatever. Yeah. Don't. That's what. Oh, get out of here. And we're all God's children, aren't
yes!
we?
Yes. There you go. That's proper exegesis
that
right there.
That was quick right there. That's what that was. That was good. But it reminds me of what Paul told the Colossians in his letter. We've talked about it before. We always talk about it because it's a good tool.
Yes.
It's a good tool to keep in your pocket.
Yes. When what we're providing here on Finding Christ in Cinema.
Exactly. Colossians 4, 5 through 6. This time out of the NASB.
NASB.
The NASB.
Oh, okay.
I got Liz Dixick there for a second.
The NASB.
Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders.
Amen.
Making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person.
Yeah.
P.L. Travers is not very seasoned with salt right now. She's salty. She's salty, which it's interesting how salt is used to preserve, but also to dry
corrode.
Out and wither and erode. Yeah. And we get that in this scene. It's part of the transformation that Helen has to go through, that P.L. Travers has to go through. And then she further explains herself to Walt Disney.
Well, what's your point, Pam?
Mrs. Travers, please. My point is that unlike yourself, Mary Poppins is the very enemy of whimsy and sentiment. She's truthful. She doesn't sugarcoat the darkness in the world that these children will eventually, inevitably, come to know. She prepares them for it. She deals in honesty. One must clean one's room. It won't magically do it by itself. This entire script is flim-flam. Where is its heart? Where is its reality? Where is the gravitas? No wait, Mr. Disney. See?
Those words are meant to tear down.
Yes. Yes, they were meant
to... So are you saying that we shouldn't do that?
Hmm?
You're saying that that's not a proper way to behave?
No.
Or would Paul say that?
I don't know, would he?
What did he say?
He said, conduct yourselves with grace.
A spoonful of grace.
A spoonful of grace helps the truth go down.
Yeah.
I'm not saying lessen the truth. I'm not saying cheapen it. But grace has to be involved. You want to talk about Ralph? Think of the grace that he had to exhibit in the beginning of the film when he first picked up Helen.
Oh, she shut the window divider on him. I don't want to hear you.
He's talking about, you know, the sun rose just for you this morning.
Yeah. That's gracious.
I know it's figurative speech, but it's nice to hear.
It is.
It's like, oh, this is nice. And then she shuts him down. Well, the rain's good too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then again, both of those statements are true because she says the rain brings life.
And he says, so does the sun. How about a little balance there,
yeah.
P.L. Travers? Mrs., as he calls her.
Yeah, oh, as she demands to be called.
Well, she demands to be called Mrs. Travers, but he just calls her Mrs.
Mrs., there you go.
Yeah. She even tried to correct him, and then she gave up. This guy's adult.
She's like, oh, well, you know? Never mind.
Yeah.
But then he ends up being her favorite American because... He won't stop being gracious to her.
He refuses to stop being mm-hmm. gracious. Mm-hmm. And she repents because of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Christians are supposed to behave.
Yeah.
What else?
Seasoned with salt. That's all I got.
Man, that is an excellent point. And because you went that direction and grace, I'm just going to catapult everything that I had wanted to say. And I'm gonna piggyback on that thread.
Okay.
I was going to continue my encouraging the fathers to return to the sons. And so, in fact, I was going to go on my rabbit trail that I had provided or I teased last episode. See, there are some translations that render that differently. That's not a cut and dry translation. Where in Malachi verse 4 through 4, here we go.
Hey.
I couldn't recover that one.
Hey, it's okay.
In Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 out of the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. The New English translation discusses that translation and says, you know what, we believe, according to this research, that a better translation of that is he will encourage the fathers and their children to return to me so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse, with judgment. And they give their reasoning for that. This is how we have chosen to remember. That's what I love about the NET, the mm-hmm. New English translations. Mm-hmm. They provide over 60,000 translators' notes. And if you think about it, that wording in the majority of the translations, it doesn't sit well with me. That doesn't seem to be something that is in the character of the Old Testament to talk about. He's going to turn the hearts of the father towards the children and the children to their fathers. If that's the way that it actually was meant to read, then fine. Go back to our episode of Mary Poppins and you can see that in play. But I do like the NET translation. According mm-hmm. to how I understand God's plan and other things that he says through prophets in other places, he will encourage fathers and their children, everybody from the old to the young to return to me, God. You know, so that I'm not going to go on that tangent.
Okay.
Okay. So
you're not
to skip right over that. Neither was I going to go. Am I any longer going to go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27 through 30? We love Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 30 and following, don't we? That's one of our very favorite passages.
Well, tell me about it.
To quote, that is talking about the new covenant. You know, where he says, "In those days, they will not say again to well." 31, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day, right? We know that. But we should always skip back. We should go back at least to verse 27, where it says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast." That's odd. What does that mean?
That is odd.
Okay.
Rather peculiar.
Yes, it is. What in the world could that even possibly mean? Well, if you read the Bible in what we have always been taught, the Bible says what it means and it means what it says. Well, I believe that as well.
The Bible says it. I believe it.
That settles it. Okay, unfortunately, the Bible wasn't written in English. Mm-hmm. See, that's a real unfortunate thing. Nor was it written in our culture. It was written in cultures thousands of miles away, thousands of years ago. Mm-hmm. And so, so just to plant a little seed in your mind, consider perhaps that every time that the Bible mentions animals, that it's not talking about cattle and actual birds and flying
things. It's talking about the beast in Revelation.
Anyway, I'm not going any further on that. Continuing though, he's going to sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. As I have watched over them to pluck them up, to break down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to bring disaster, so will I watch over them to build up and to plant, declares the Lord. In those days they will not say again, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, but everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. So I'm not going to talk about that either, because that kind of bolsters that New English translation of Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. Okay. Yeah.
But you're not going to talk about
I'm not going to talk about any of that stuff. What I want to talk about is grace. And this grace that Walt Disney showed to P.L. Travers in this story, mm-hmm. this beautiful story. I just want to fulfill my promise to my daughters. Mm-hmm. And I love this character.
I want you to know the last thing I would do, the very last thing, is tarnish a story I have cherished. Now, the pages of your books are worn to tissue. They are dog-eared and fallen out because I have pored over them, gripped and tormented, because I love her, Pam. I love Mary Poppins. And you've got to share her with me.
I know how zealous, how covetous, how protective you are of Mary Poppins, but you have to share her with me because I love her too. Oh, and that was having a big effect on P.L. Travers at that point in time. I mean, she was mesmerized. She was transfixed. She thought maybe somebody's reaching out to me because they understand. Maybe he understands. And she turns around and says, Mary Poppins and the Banks family, they're my family.
Mm-hmm.
They are my family. That's how important they are. And what is it? Walt's response to that says, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about, as a matter mm-hmm. of fact. Mm-hmm. Because in that scene where one of the Sherman brothers is playing the Bird Lady song, one of my very favorite songs of all time.
I think it's Richard.
Feed the Birds. Yeah, and Richard Sherman. And Walt goes up there and he sits down with him and he says, you know what? I understand. Because Richard says, she's going to give you the rights. And he's, I don't know. She's not. And I understand why. I understand exactly what she's talking about.
I fought this battle from her side. Pat Powers. Oh, he wanted the mouse. And I didn't have a bean in my pocket back then. He was this big, terrifying New York producer. I was just a kid from Missouri with a sketch of Mickey. Would have killed me to give him up. Honest to God, would have killed me. And Mouse, his family.
Mary Poppins and the Bankses are my family.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. The Mouse, Mickey Mouse, my creation is family. And trust me, I will protect Mary Poppins because I love her too. And I know that millions and millions of other people love the mouse. Everybody loves the mouse. I understand. Compassion. That's compassion, isn't it?
It is, yes.
And she eventually she gives up. She says, because the animation. She will not suffer any animation and mm-hmm. with Mary Poppins. She hates animation. And she gives up. She said, we're done here. And she goes home. And Walt Disney immediately, he gets on the next flight, the very next flight. So she's at home in London trying to sleep, trying to relax. So there's got to be some enormous jet lag going on. And here's somebody pounding on her door, knocking. And she opens it up, and it's like she saw a ghost. And he comes in, and he has this great exchange, which is very long, and I edited it down as far as I could go without doing damage to it. We're going to listen to a gracious heart, a compassionate heart, speaking to P.L. Travers.
I don't tell you this to make you sad, Mrs. Travers. I don't. I love my life. I think it's a miracle. I love my dad. He was a wonderful man. But rare is the day when I don't think about that 8-year-old boy delivering newspapers in the snow and old Elias Disney with that strap in his fist. And I am just so tired, Mr. Travers. I'm tired of remembering it that way. Aren't you tired too, Mrs. Travers? Now, we all have our sad tales, but don't you want to finish the story? Let it all go and have a life that isn't dictated by the past? It's not the children she comes to save. It's their father. It's your father. It's him this is all about, is it? All of it, everything. Forgiveness, Mrs. Travers. It's what I learned from your books.
I don't have to forgive my father. He was a wonderful man.
No. You need to forgive Helen Goff. Life is a harsh sentence to lay down for yourself. Give her to me. Mrs. Travers, trust me with your precious Mary Poppins. I won't disappoint you. I swear every time a person walks into a movie house, from Leicester Square to Kansas City, they will see George Banks being saved. They will love him and his kids. They will weep for his cares. They will wring their hands when he loses his job. And when he flies that kite. Oh, Mrs. Travers, they will rejoice. They will sing. In movie houses all over the world, the eyes and hearts of my kids and other kids and mothers and fathers for generations to come, George Banks will be honored. George Banks will be redeemed. George Banks and all he stands for will be saved. Well, maybe not in life, but in imagination.
Dak, come in. Why'd you have to play that one?
Wow. Wow, what a delivery. It's not... You have to forgive yourself, Helen Goff. I know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I know who your father was. I know who Mr. Banks is. I know what this is all about. You have to forgive yourself. See, it's not, it isn't even saving Mr. Banks. This now is saving Helen Goff. That's what this is about. And that is an example of Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Walt Disney did not know how to respond to P.L. Travers until this moment, until he learned her name, Helen Goff, and her story, and he has a similar story, and he—that's what he tells her right before that sound clip started the story about being raised by his dad and having to deliver newspapers in the snow and even passing out in the snow from exhaustion or frost. See, we're the same. Is that what Walt Disney is saying? We're the same. We're in the same boat, and I can help you because grace has been extended to me, and I'm going to extend it to you. And he's a great picture of a Christian who is supposed to be a picture of Jesus Christ. We are little ambassadors of Christ. And as Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, out of the NILT, the New Living Translation, says, this high priest, Jesus, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. That's the story of saving Mr. Banks, as I see it. That's your Christian themes, as I read them. Brendan, questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks.
Yes.
Good.
A quick little piggyback. I think of C.S. Lewis.
I do, too. What does that have to do with this, though?
I'm about to tell you.
Oh, okay.
In his book, The Four Loves, he talks about friendship and how friendship is a starting point for true compassion. And as you've just illustrated, the compassion that Walt has for Helen. C.S. Lewis says, friendship is born at a moment when one man says to another, "What? You too?"
Yes.
I think Helen has that same feeling, that same thought, when Walt opens up to her his story, and he says, "Look, I have this whole thing with my dad too. I understand. I truly understand."
Amen.
And maybe a note for Christians that want to, quote, win souls, maybe be more open with your own self and not so...
Your own frailties,
your own
faults,
your own burdens.
Yes.
Yeah. And let your brothers and sisters carry those burdens for you. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Excuse me. Okay, sorry. Piggyback over.
Real quick, some feedback.
Who goes there? It is I.
That's my wee lad. Gimli.
No. Patron Saint Philip is taking us down to King Philip's Stables of Doom. He left a comment on our last episode, Mary Poppins Restoration and Compassion, episode number 139. You can listen to that at ChristInCinema.com.
He says, "Hey guys, haven't listened to this episode yet, but my quick thought on Mary Poppins is that I liked it a lot. Julie Andrews specifically was awesome and a real delight."
Wasn't Amen. She,
yes. "One thing I get is how Mary Poppins deflected adoration away from herself to the children's father." Did I read that right?
Yep.
"That reminds me how we need to point people to our Heavenly Father and give Him the glory every chance we get."
Amen!
"I'm excited to rewatch Saving Mr. Banks now that I have proper context to understand the references. And FYI, the little girl who played Jane is Karen
Dotrice,
pronounced Dotrice. Daughter of Roy Dotrice, an amazing audiobook narrator who did George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire books. He's right up there with guys like Jim Dale and Rob Inglis in my book."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's high praise.
Yes, it is.
"Thanks for the show, guys. Hashtag
my wee lad Gimli.
That's my wee lad Gimli."
Thank you, Philip, as always, for giving us your feedback, and hopefully you'll enjoy our treatment of Saving Mr. Banks. Brendan, what's coming up on Finding Christ in Cinema?
Well, next week, we're going to talk about Batfleck's brother, Casey Affleck, in his Amazon-produced film.
In the Amazon.
Manchester by the Sea.
We've been to Africa, now we're going to the Amazon.
That's right.
All right. Hey, it doesn't matter. Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network each Saturday, Lord willing, at around 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us for live video on our Facebook page. No. On our live page at Finding Christ in Cinema. Go to ChristInCinema.com and click on the live tab up there at the top of the webpage.
There you go.
Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. To witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 140 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema and the list of films we've covered, get over to our website at christincinema.com. Send email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN or the emergency backup toll-free line at 507-407-4286.
Whoopsie splunkers!
Now, let's just say you want to listen to the good old podcast.
I do.
You can go to iTunes, you can go to Stitcher, you can go to TuneIn Radio, and you can go to Google Play Music and search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
And for all the shows that we produce at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
the Theonauts!
And our super-duper secret Tolkien-centric show, The Secret Fire Podcast, get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
Mary Poppins was tied to a spoonful of sugar.
I don't understand.
And that is a wrap! You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission
at gctnetwork.com. This is your Great Commission.